Welcome back to the Unhinged History Podcast with me,
your unhinged host, honey.
On today's episode, we are going to be talking about the girl of the hour. I swear everyone and her, I don't know, next door neighbor is talking about Cleopatra and the Netflix doco. So I'm going to explain the tea and I want to give you some facts about the real Cleopatra and some far more interesting things. So if that sounds of interest to you, please continue on as we hear the music. Thanks, Carl. All right. So on today's episode, we're going to be covering why is everyone so mad? Why did an Egyptian man try to sue Netflix over this docu-series called Queen Cleopatra? But first and foremost, today's sponsor is none other than Caesar Archivum, which is yours truly's designs. And we're obviously wearing the Cleopatra pendant, which I hand drew myself, which is actually kind of baffling that we managed to get my scribbles into a necklace. So if you liked today's episode and you would like to get your hands on Cleopatra pendant, then you can. Use the code CLEO. I didn't mean to say that with so many O's, just CLEO at checkout for a discount, $20 off. For the first 100 orders only though. And I just want to thank everybody for the support on the new format of the podcast. We now have a channel on every social for the podcast alone. So if you want to just like watch in clips, you can watch in clips. Nonetheless, the long format will also remain, just depending on what you prefer. So let's get stuck into it, shall we? So Netflix has released a series where it's called Queens of Something. I haven't watched it. Why? Because when it was released, Egyptians were up in uproar. Not only the Egyptians, but also the Greeks, the anthropologists, and everyone was mad. Because it was marketed as a docu-series, meaning a documentary, meaning it should be factual. Yet it was casted and there was information within the series that is not factual. Now, if you want to go back, I did an episode on Queen Amun-Iranas, which in my little skis at the episode, I feel like they took Queen Amun-Iranas, a Nubian queen, and kind of like just slapped Cleopatra's name on it, just like for clickbait. That's how it sort of feels to me. I did a whole episode on her, but today I wanted to do an episode on Cleo and some of the lesser known things about her life, which are really bloody interesting if I don't say so myself. That's the tea, really. That's all it is that Netflix just effed up really big. Really big. I think it has like a 2-star or whatever rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So you're directed by Jada Pinkett Smith, I think that's her name, which I'm pretty sure is the one that Will Smith slapped that dude for. Again, I live in a fantasy realm. Pop culture is not my thing. Okay. I like history. So we're going to talk about if it happened 2000 years ago. Cool. If it happened, then the Met Gala? I don't know. I just see the memes and I'm like, huh. So where did Cleo come from? That's the most important thing. What is her family tree? It was more like a family wreath. Let's be real. So Big Daddy Alexander the Great, which I think he came on into Egypt and established Alexandria, which he obviously named after himself because he was high key, probably like a megalomaniac. The point is, Daddy Alex comes on in and one of his generals was named Ptolemy. Then Alexander died at 32. Some people say he could have been a blaring alcoholic and maybe that's why he died. There's a lot of speculation. We don't really know. But anyway, he dies. And so Ptolemy, who was like 2IC, was like, well, I'm taking Egypt. And so that's how this family wreath of a situation took over the Egyptian kingdom. So this was Cleopatra's like great grandfather, right? But essentially they were foreigners. They were not Egyptian natives. And they came in and they just took over and ruled for a successive amount of years. So why were they a family wreath and not a family tree? Well, incest. It was incest. Past Game of Thrones level. Anyway, So, you know, incest is bad, but eventually throughout the generations, and it's so confusing when you look at that, because there's everyone seems to be named Cleopatra or Ptolemy. And then you're like, oh, wait, so the Cleopatra and Ptolemy got married and then they had another Cleopatra. It's very confusing. But a few generations later, our girl Cleopatra was born. I believe she was the 7th, actually. So in her life, they were very rich, right? The Ptolemies, I mean, they just like took over like a very wealthy city. So they had the money and the audacity. It is clear that Cleopatra was a formidable leader. She spoke 9 languages. She was strategic, but did she have psychopathic tendencies? Arguably. This was evident in her willingness to murder those closest to her to ensure that she became the biggest in the room. Am I allowed to say that? I don't think so. It doesn't really make sense, does it? Anyway, so when her and her lover, Julius Caesar, correct, if you didn't know that, she then went on and married her 12-year-old brother, Ptolemy. But then in 44 BC, he dies. And everyone's like, what? How? Why? You were 12. It is hypothesized that Cleopatra was actually the cause of his death. But how did she do it? If she did it? Speculation, right? Detective mode activated. So at the time of Cleopatra and the death of her 12-year-old brother husband, there was a plant called, and I'm bad at saying, Aconitum, wolfsbane, basically. It was kind of like known about to result in death. So today, 2 milligrams kills a grown man. A Canadian guy died from wolfsbane. So back then, who knows how many milligrams Ptolemy had, but he had enough. He probably, yeah, and he was 12. So, you know, just a little bit of in the cup, probably. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the pretty flower tea, because it's a pretty flower. It's like purple and fun. Kind of like Kool-Aid, actually. Anyway, so she probably killed her brother husband. That's fact one. Who liked a party? Cleopatra.
Working at the pyramids, working at the pyramids tonight. It fits Cleopatra and her 6-inch heels. Gotcha.
Anyway, the point is, I'm going to stop doing that. That's embarrassing. Don't tell anyone about that. People have been getting high and loose as a bloody goose for as long as we have been around. It's a part of the human experience. And like the Egyptians at the time absolutely participated in that, especially with booze. As I mentioned, there is a theory that Alexander the Great died because he was an alcoholic. Anyway, Cleopatra with her boy toy too, Mark Antony, used to throw these huge parties and they would dress up in Alexandria as slaves. Because she would wear a ring on her finger that's read methe, which means intoxicated. And they would just, I don't know, roam around town, have a bit of a bender. I don't know what they would have done. They dress up as slaves and got absolutely pissed off their nut and then just, I don't know, you do you, boo, you know. But they also had a drinking club called the Intimitable Lovers. Now, I feel like when you have a drinking club with that name, maybe she's not a drinking club. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about that in another section of this episode. Yeah, they love to get on the grog, get on the booze. Probably some other things too, because she was literally the pharaoh. Well, yeah, the Ptolemies participated. So when it was Cleopatra's and her brothers and sisters' daddy that was the leader before. Anyways, her mum, who was likely her dad's sister, so her mum/auntie, her father wished that when he died that she, Cleo, and her brother, again named Ptolemy, would rule Egypt together forever in love as brother and sister and husband and wife. Basically, when her father died, Rome at the time, who, you know, Rome and Egypt had an understanding. The Roman leader at the time, his name was like Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus, but let's just call him Pom-Pom. Pom-Pom ensured that their dad's wishes would be observed and that Cleo and her 12-year-old brother would rule together forever in love. But various reasons, the marriage of Cleo and her 12-year-old brother probably wasn't a very good idea. Not a match made in heaven. actually probably a match made in hell in a lot of ways. Basically, because he was only like 11/12 and Cleopatra was 18 at the time, she pushed his buttons, annoying her little brother, as big sisters typically do. But most big sisters don't have to marry their 11 to 12-year-old brother who's probably, I don't know, just hitting. So Cleopatra, essentially, it didn't go well. I mean, he died. So we've been through that. How smart was Cleopatra? Wow. A brilliant, brilliant woman. Here's all the things she could do. And her resume, it would be like 14 pages long. It could be a whole book, or it could be a whole play written by Shakespeare, which it is. So she spoke 9 languages. She was the very first Ptolemy out of all those generations to actually learn the Egyptian language. She was the first one. So she spoke fluent Egyptian, which people say is why the Egyptian people actually seem to like her. Debatable. But she at least understood the language and embraced the culture because she believed that she was a literal reincarnation of the goddess Isis. Now, this is a part of the Egyptian, I guess, pharaohhood custom. They weren't just seen as like a king or queen. They were seen as a reincarnation of God. You see this a lot in monarchs. They're like, I sleep for God. You get what I'm saying? So she was like, yeah, I'm Isis.
Which?
And she would often, like, I guess, cosplay would be my term as Isis. She loved peacock feathers. The Ptolemies were notoriously xenophobic. Okay. So it was weird that one of them learned language. You may be like, oh, so she was a lover of Julius Caesar, her 12-year-old brother, and Mark Antony. How'd she speak to them then? Well, that'd be because she spoke Latin. She spoke Greek. Apparently 9 languages. She was incredibly talented and intelligent, right? She studied chemistry, medicine, agriculture, economics, law, military theory, and mercantile strategy, which may be where she got the tips for the murdering. Don't know. And she knew how to put on a show to get the public on her side, which is great PR. And I would argue that most marketers have a little bit of a touch over something, right? Because you've got to understand psychology to understand how to market. She was a proponent of public relations. PR was her jam. She basically thought about ways that she could be the top lady and win the favor of the people, which, again, strategic. And she would often give tax incentives to politicians. She gave public speeches, loved a public speaking arrangement. And Cleopatra was so smart, it's kind of scary. Not only did she speak all these languages, not only was she a PR expert, not only did she have a perfumery, fragrance was her jam. She had all the money in the world. She managed to align horizontally in the bed with not only Julius Caesar, but Mark Antony and arguably some other people. But that's, again, alleged. She had a network of spies, of whisperers, if you will. She was a smart bitch. It's probably why she was, you know, pharaoh. She'd literally do an Oprah. So she'd get these public speeches. And she'd be like, you get a papyrus. I don't know. I made that up.
But you get a fragrance. You get a fragrance. You get some money. You get a tax exemption. You get my...
I don't know what she gave out. But she gave free stuff out. And did she cosplay as a slave? Yes. I'm thinking Titanic, you know? When Rose goes down. Rose is on whatever level, the high people level. And then Jack's the cool people level because they got bum tickets. And she comes down and she just has the best night of her life. But everyone's like, Rose would have been like, Cleo, Cleo. I feel like that could have been the vibe. I don't know if that's fact at all. That's just me making up. It's just what I'm thinking. Because like, how, like the pharaoh dressing up in slave clothes? PR queen. I feel like that went down well. Anyway, she was very paranoid, as you would. And I feel like... not to retrospectively diagnose, because that's apparently very much against the rule. But you know what? I like to break rules. But it feels to me as if maybe she was a little bit psychopathic, because people with antisocial personality disorder are so highly intelligent. But then she was also paranoid, so then I'm kind of like, sociopath, ADHD, I don't know. My brain's peeing, and none of those things can be applied because it's illegal. But like historians and psychologists and psychiatrists will be like, yeah, retrospective diagnosis is a little, I'm just saying. A lot of people, when they hear Shakespeare, roll their eyes and want to throw up. Why? Because it's taught terribly in high school. I'm not going to say his name because you're all going to chop if I do, okay? Because we all went to that boring ass English or history class where the teacher was like, now everybody turn to page, I'm going to read Romeo and Juliet. And we're all just like, why? Why? Actually, you know what? Romeo and Juliet was, in my opinion, a copyright of the real story, which was Cleopatra and Antony. Let me open up to Antony and Cleopatra. So Shakespeare, you know, the bald dude, yeah, visual English fella, wrote just a couple plays. So Romeo and Juliet, in my opinion, sucks. Did I play Juliet in high school? Yes. Did I make up the lines as I went? Yes, because who's gonna know? Who's gonna know? The point is that he wrote this play, and at the end of it, which as far as we're aware happened, because just a quick like backtrack, in Rome, Julius Caesar was stabbed by 23 of his best friends. If you would like to maybe go back an episode and watch that one, that'll give you some context. So who came in after him? Mark Antony. Mark Antony comes to Egypt, and what do you know? Cleopatra's like, hey, baby, let's talk about sex, baby. No, it's probably more like, in my 6-inch heels, fell chills. Working at the pyramid. Oh my gosh. It's so hard being a Frank Ocean fan. Anyway, she gets in Mark Antony, and back in Rome, Octavian is like, let's bloody murder river. So the story goes, well, at least the Shakespearean version of it goes, that they were so in love that they committed suicide together, right? So as it goes, the legends, he stabbed himself because Octavian, and she pushed an asp to her chest and let the poison kill her. I don't know if Shakespeare just did that for the dramatic effect, or if that's, I don't think anyone can prove that because we don't have her body yet. Kathleen Martinez. Godspeed. I hope you find her tomb. So, you know, though, like Romeo poisons himself, and then Juliet wakes up like the badass she is, 15 years old or whatever, and then stabs herself. Yeah, kind of like that. Oh, this is what I'm looking for. Give me my robe, put on my crown. I have immortal longings in me. Now no more. The juice of Egypt's grape. Fuck off. Whatever. She stabbed herself with a snake, okay? That's the point. Shut up, Shakespeare. So Cleopatra tried to, like, make her boyfriend Caesar, Julius Caesar, a potion because she was trying to heal male pattern baldness. Why? Because
Caesar was balding.
She tried to cure various diseases because, you know, in her spare time, she did a bit of chemistry. We love a girly with hobbies. She tried to convince Caesar to use her potion, but it was burnt mice, rags, horse teeth, bear's grease, deer marrow, reed bark. And then she'd mush that all together and put it in some honey, which she'd then flather onto the bald person's head. And we don't really know how successful this was. Probably a bit of an MLM scheme, I feel. Anyway, Caesar didn't do it. He died anyway. Again, 20. Anyway, other academic papers that she did was ointments for skin brightening. Thanks a lot, Cleo. But also some balms that were meant to heal the skin from injuries. And I think I already said that she really, really loved perfume. She had a perfumery. Let us talk about her entrance to Rome. So she was Julius Caesar's GS at this time, girlfriend. And whilst incest was like the norm in Egypt, it was very much frowned upon by a lot of other societies, especially the Greeks. So, you know, the Ptolemaic dynasty doing the whole like incestual thing for its existence, they weren't that liked elsewhere where that was cooked. So outraged Greeks at the time made it into a scandal, obviously. But by the time Cleo was born, it had obviously been the norm for like centuries. So Alexandria was sieged. So Caesar took her and they then, she got pregnant, she got up the duff, you know, and it was his kid and they named him Little Caesar, Caesarion. By the way, he was not born by a cesarean section. Caesar had that. His life was destined for a rough life because his dad, Caesar, the dictator of Rome, got stabbed a bunch of times. Anyway, with a 22-year-old Cleopatra, he decided that he would also rule Egypt with her. So Caesar takes his 22-year-old hot thing, you know, pharaoh of Egypt, why not, back to his home, his hood, which was the Senate of Rome. And he was stabbed 23 times in the theater of Pompeii. Again, previous episode. Once Caesar died, she needed to flee Rome like instantly because like, you know, they didn't like her very much. But what they did love was her style. Everyone wanted to look like her. They wanted to copy her looks. They wanted to copy her hair. Cleopatra was like the Princess Diana of the time where everyone wanted the same haircut and they wanted to be her.
Passing.
Anyway, she had a lot of pearl jewelry and she went back to Egypt. Mark Antony had her boozy lover days. And in Pliny the Elder's book, who was a Roman writer, he states in his book Natural History that she bet Antony she could spend $10,000 on a meal for at least a banquet. And that she would be about $20 million in today's. That would be, like, with inflation, plus, that's about $20 million in today's money. $20 million on one meal. She bet him. What she did was she put a massive bloody pearl into a glass of vinegar, which was an earring of hers, big fat pearl. And Pliny said it turned into slush, and then she wolfed it down, thereby winning the bet. Rich people, rich people. Anyway, finishing up with the things that you maybe never knew about. She was, again, from Macedonian Greek slash maybe Iberian slash insert picture of like her bust and coins. Despite what Netflix says, she looked like what her bust and coins look like. Okay. Actually, there's a theory she could have been a redhead. I'll just leave that there. But she basically believed that she was Isis and that the god Osiris marries his sister Isis, which she, I believe, Mark Antony, like, played the cosplay of Osiris. I don't know if this is offensive. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't know. But anyway, according to legend, it dates that she said, "No man shall ever find my tomb." Why? Because, well, they killed themselves because Octavian, the Roman ruler at the time, was after them. Now, there are rumors that she tried to seduce Octavian and almost succeeded as well, which is pretty scandalous, seeing as she was. But an archaeologist, Kathleen Martinez, her tomb's been looked for years. Do we have it yet? No. Do I have an update? No. But watch this space, maybe soon, because Cleopatra said no man will find my tomb, but Dr. Kathleen Martinez is a woman. And with that, I shall leave you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I hope you learned a little bit. Netflix, get your shit together. Okay. See you next time, guys. Like and subscribe, or don't, you know. Here's a close-up of the necklace. Oh, seems too seductive. Bye!